Up until now, in my opinion, the tax commissioner and the BTA have had the ability to read the statute, and when it says public property, this court, the BTA, and previously the tax commissioner and the commissioner of tax equalization have always required some indices of public ownership.
Now, was the actual exemption filed for 570908?
Yes, it was. That was the only section that the tax commissioner considered, the only section that the BTA considered. No other sections were considered, as I recall.
So that says real personal property belonging to the state or United States.
That is correct. And then it continues, or public property used exclusively for a public purpose. And as I indicate, and I cited a case back, the Gerke versus Purcell, back in the early 1900s, there isn't that says that public property means public ownership. It does not mean private ownership. The BTA, the tax commissioner and the BTA transformed I-670's property into public property because I-670 had entered into an agreement with the city of Columbus. And I want to emphasize to this court that nothing in that agreement, nothing in the city of Columbus's ordinance, nothing in the loan agreement whereby the city loaned money to I-670 authorized.
The city loaned money. The city never gave money.
City never gave money. The loan agreement is on page 86 of the supplement. It provides that I-670 had the right, or the city would loan up to $800,000 to I-670. Interestingly enough, as a condition of getting that loan, I-670 was required to give the city a unconditional, irrevocable letter of credit for $840,000. The loan was $800,000. The irrevocable, unconditional letter of credit was $840,000. So the loan is not significant. I mean, the city, I-670, was required to pay it back. Interestingly enough, the loan agreement also says that it's on demand. City of Columbus can demand. All right, so that's significant. I-670 was not an agent or instrumentality of the city of Columbus. Nothing in any of the documents before you presented the BTA authorized I-670 to buy this property as an agent or instrumentality of the city of Columbus. Nothing provided that the city of Columbus had the right to control the use or the development of the property. I-670 was allowed to keep the profits from the development of the property. The property was not under the direction and control of the city of Columbus, and nothing in the agreements provided otherwise. I also want to emphasize that it's not relevant whether the property owner had an agreement with the city and whether or not it was an agent or instrumentality. Not this court, the BTA, I don't believe the tax commissioner have ever held that a private company corporation that is an agent or instrumentality of a city is entitled to an exemption on its property. And we cited the Community Improvement Corporation. And I believe that precedent is critical. Community improvement corporations are by statute agents and instrumentalities of cities, municipalities.
Now, the constitutional provision, Section 13, Article 8, I guess it's not constitutional. Comment on that.
All that says is that the private development is a public purpose. I have no objection to that, and I don't even believe that's relevant. What that does is authorize the various tax abatement statutes and that's perfectly fine. 570908 does simply not implement any part of that constitutional provision, was not intended to do so by the General Assembly, predates that constitutional provision by over 100 years, actually about 150 years. And that section, the constitutional provision, is implemented by the various tax abatement statutes, which I cited in my brief. Interestingly enough, all of which prohibit an exemption of the land. And so that statutory scheme, the statutes which implement that constitutional provision, are being shot to pieces by this decision. Community improvement corporations own industrial parks, shopping centers, apartment complexes, office buildings. This decision, if affirmed, the BTA's decision, if affirmed, would authorize a real property tax exemption for all of that property, and in our opinion, that's incredible.
Now, beginning Section 13, Article 8, Section 13, on page 36 of your brief.
Yes.
Talks about laws, about midway down, a little past the middle. Laws may be passed to carry in effect such purposes, or authorize such purposes. Were there any laws that are relevant here that were passed under this provision?
There are no laws whatsoever that are relevant to the exemption of the I-670 property that were passed under Section 13. 570908, the only section before this court, was adopted in rough form in the 1830s, put in its current form in about 1852. There is no evidence to suggest the General Assembly intended to implement this provision by 570908. It was not changed following the enactment of this provision. The language we're dealing with is 100 years old. I simply do not believe, and I submit to this court, that this section is not relevant to the exemption of this property. It does not transform I-670's property into public property. I may be required, Section 13 might raise an issue as to whether or not property like this is used for a public purpose. It's not used exclusively for a public purpose, but it has absolutely nothing to do with the issue of whether that property is public property.
We don't know how this was used, quote, used. Was it used? Did it just owned?
It was owned. And it was used for development, if you're going to call that a use. I did cite in my case, I'm not going to concede that this property was used exclusively for a public purpose. And I did cite the Supreme Court decision that says that there's maybe a public benefit here, but the private development of private land is not a use in any sense exclusively for a public purpose.
There's nothing that I could see looking over that directed them to buy this for the city, was there?
There was absolutely nothing in the agreement. The agreement did not contemplate or authorize.
It says they can use the money.
It says they can use the money, and if you'll note, the loan says what they're going to use the money for is the, and that's on page 86 of the supplement, says they're going to use the money for a mixed-purpose industrial park. Well, that doesn't strike me as being a public purpose. But nonetheless, nothing authorized I-670 to be an agent or instrumentality of the City of Columbus. That is a given fact. The BTA, you'll note in its decision, says I-670 was an agent or instrumentality. You will search through the record in vain to find any support for that statement. It is not there. The consequences of the abatement, of the exemption in this case, are extraordinary, and I would ask the court to consider that. this decision authorizes any municipality, and it would apply to any township or any county, to execute an agreement, a broad general agreement that says you, private developer, are our agent. There is nothing in the facts of this case or the holding that limits this to a nonprofit corporation. It is merely a coincidence that I-670 is a nonprofit corporation. There is nothing in the facts of this case that suggests the City of Columbus had the right to control or direct the development of the property. So you've got a private developer who simply enters into a general contract, not authorizing them to act as agent or instrumentality, just to act as a developer, and that agreement alone transforms exclusively private property into public property pursuant to 570908. We also suggested in our brief, and I would like the court to consider, that that is an if that decision is affirmed, then we have an unconstitutional delegation of the tax-exempt power of the General Assembly. I mean, there must be some criteria by which the City of Columbus is authorized to enter into these agreements to cause a 100% tax exemption.
There's nothing special about this. What you're saying is they could go out and hire Dominion Homes.
They can hire your company and refuse to hire mine, although we are equal in every sense of the term, for political reasons, for whatever reasons. There's not a single standard or criteria that would govern how the City of Columbus is to enter into these agreements and to cause a 100% exemption of the property. I'm not saying the agreement was unconstitutional. All I have to say is that tax exemption statutes are strictly construed, and tax exemption statutes must be construed to be consistent with the Constitution. And so if you ask whether the BTA's interpretation of 570908 is too broad, I believe the fact that it would create an unconstitutional system is a reason for limiting the interpretation to public property means property belonging to the public in some sense. The BTA also cited the Dayton Metropolitan Housing Authority case, and I addressed that in my brief. I believe it's inconceivable that this court, by the language that the BTA relied upon, intended to authorize an exemption as public property to privately owned property to a person who holds the property for the benefit of the state. The facts were that we were dealing with a metro housing agency. It's an agency or instrumentality of the state. I-670 is not. I thank the court.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. Ms. Shambaugh.
Good morning. May it please the court, Your Honor. The tax commissioner would respectfully disagree with some of the characterizations of the facts that the appellant has placed on what I-670 Corporation was and its status. The City of Columbus enacted Ordinance 1891-86, which is in the Volume 2 of the supplement beginning on page 78. And I believe if you review that ordinance, it very clearly states that the City of Columbus designated I-670 as both an agent and instrumentality of the City of Columbus, and it goes into some detail about the purposes of I-670, which was to develop and promote that particular area of the I-670 corridor. That ordinance specifically references Section 13 of Article 8 of the Ohio Constitution, which Your Honor asked about earlier, and I believe the ordinance makes it very clear that this agreement and this ordinance was undertaken pursuant to that constitutional provision, and that that provision itself declares that the purchase of land to create or preserve jobs and employment opportunities is a public purpose.
Let me ask, 570908, real and personal property belonging to the state, you're saying that this, or United States, used exclusively for a public purpose, and public property used exclusively for a public purpose. What specifically would you think this exemption should be under?
The tax commissioner believes that this exemption falls under the latter part, the public property used for a public purpose.
And you think the city of Columbus can designate any corporation as a public entity for purposes of exemption?
Well, I think your question is a little broad, because I think we need to look at the manner in which I-670 was designated. I-670 is specifically was a nonprofit corporation. It was designated.
Let's start with that.
Okay.
Kent, Mr. Gorey, one of his concerns is that it could be perhaps extended to a for-profit corporation.
I don't think that this case could be extended to that. I think if you look at the facts of I-670, that was a nonprofit corporation.
What designates, where do I look to find that this is only applicable to nonprofits?
I don't think the BTA specifically said that it was only applicable to nonprofit corporations, but I think it is important to look at I-670 and the structure of the I-670 Corp, because it was designated by the IRS as a 501c3 corporation, and the IRS specifically found that it wasn't a private foundation because it received a substantial part of its support from a governmental unit. And you can see that determination is in the second supplement at page 46.
So we're not regulated by the IRS particularly.
No, I would agree with that, but I think that that is support for the BTA's determination and the other evidence in the record that the support for I-670 Corporation came from the city through not only the loan, which they used to purchase the land, but also through grants, which were used, I believe, for the operations of the corporation. And if you look at what I-670 did after they purchased the land, they were really doing the functions that a city would do, putting in sewers and curbs and lighting and general improvements.
That was a question I had. They actually paid. I-670 paid for the streets and the sewers and everything.
I-670 Corporation did with funds that were provided by the city. So all the funding for I-670 Corporation was funneled through the city, either through the form of grants or through loans.
There's no evidence in the record of what happens to the profits from I-670.
I believe you're correct on that, that there's no evidence of that. I think also as far as Article 8, Section 13, I think it's important to look at the language of that, because the city carried out the public purpose that is described in that section, specifically in the manner that it's laid out. It designated a nonprofit corporation as its agency or instrumentality to carry out the purposes. And I think it's important that, actually I think it would be rather ironic if the property and the manner that it was used here, the manner that the city carried out its public purpose, which is specifically designated in that constitutional provision.
But a constitutional provision in and of itself doesn't do anything.
Right. I'm not saying that the constitutional provision is what exempts the property. I'm saying that the constitutional provision provides the basis for determining that the use of this property was exclusively for a public purpose, and that the manner in which the city carried out that public purpose was specifically designated and outlined in that constitutional provision. I guess the main area of disagreement, at least on the first portion of this, is as far as I know appellant is concerned that this case would have a broad impact. The tax commissioner disagrees with that assertion. I think the impact is strictly limited to this particular case, and I think you need to look at the I-670 Corporation and how it was established and how it was funded, and in effect, it was a nonprofit public corporation, I believe, that held the property exclusively for the benefit of the city. Also, I would disagree with Mr. Gorey's broad assertion that this case would allow the city to designate any developer merely by an agreement, and that developer would receive the exemption. I think that's an overstatement of what this case does. Again, I think you need to look at exactly what I-670 Corporation was. Now, the BTA did find that this property did satisfy the provisions of 570908, that it was public property and that it was used exclusively for public purpose. I think that determination is reasonable and lawful. If you look at the underlying rationale for providing exemption to public property, it is to avoid taxation of property that was supported by public revenues because there's no public benefit obtained from taxing such property. And as I stated earlier, this I-670 Corporation's, the activities were funded entirely by either grants or loans from the city, which were public funds.
Do you think that I-670 has the same status as, say, a public housing authority that's formed by the state that have as far as this exemption? Are they a public agency?
I guess I would view them as a quasi-public agency, and that they could be established as such due to the provisions of the Article 8, Section 13, which allows the city to establish the nonprofit corporation.
Well, they weren't established. They were just designated.
Designated, I'm sorry. I think that I-670 Corporation, the way it was designated as an agency and instrumentality of the city, was a quasi-public agency, if you want to call it that, because it was designated by the city as an agency and instrumentality, and I think that is outlined clearly in the ordinance from the city. Also, I think this is public property because the I-670 Corporation held the property exclusively for the benefit of the city, and after, in fact,
we don't know that, though, do we? Do we have an agreement that says that they held it for the benefit of the city?
There's no specific agreement that says that. I think if you look at the agreement or the ordinance from the city and also the articles of incorporation, which are incorporated into the ordinance by the city, that the purposes for which I-670 Corporation were established and the reasons that they bought that property and improved it, that it was held for the benefit of the city.
I'm assuming they didn't buy it until after they got the loan.
I-670 Corporation? I believe you're correct on that.
Is there something in the record that shows that?
I think there is something in there that shows the purchase date.
Okay. Well, I'll find it if
okay.
There is.
In fact, it's probably in the statement of facts in my brief. I think it was October.
We don't know anything about the title itself.
The parcel was acquired on October 15, 1992, and it was acquired from the Conrail Corporation. And the title was held in the in the name of the Isaac 70 Corporation. Is that your question?
Yes.
That's on page 4 of my brief in the statement of facts.
And so the city ordinance was July of 86, and this was purchased in, you said?
October of 1992.
Okay, so we had 6 years there?
Yes. I'm not sure why there was so much of a lapse of time. I know there is some discussion in the record that particular property, I think they considered it crucial to the purpose of the I-670 corridor and the plan that was to be implemented, but I think there were some problems as far as the status of the property, whether it had environmental or other problems, because it was previously owned by the Conrail Corporation. One item that I would just like to point out that subsequent to the tax years that we have an issue here, the property, at least part of the property that we have at issue, was purchased by a private company, a car supply company. And car supply company was granted a tax abatement, and that was with the participation of the Columbus Board of Education. So I guess the tax commissioner is somewhat puzzled as to why the board is so strenuously objecting to the case that we have at hand.
What makes this public property while it's being owned by I-670?
The tax commissioner believes that it's public property because it is owned by a person, I-670 Corporation, who is holding it for the benefit of the state. And that comes from the Dayton Housing Authority case.
We don't have any agreement, do we, that says that I-670 is holding it for the city?
There's no specific agreement, no. I think that you can infer that the I-670 is holding that property for the city, if you read the Articles of Incorporation of I-670 and also read the ordinance, I think it becomes clear that I-670 was holding that property.
That's sort of an exemption case, isn't it, to infer something? There isn't anything directly, is my point.
You mean as far as a direct agreement that says right. that I-670 is holding for the benefit of the city? No, there is not. I think the board reasonably looked at the facts and the agreements in the case and, based on the case law, determined that it was public property. For instance, if you have a look at the Muskingum Watershed case, the title in that particular case was held by a public agency, and it was found to be public property.
Is this a public agency?
The tax commissioner really didn't characterize it as a public agency. I guess the tax commissioner would look at it as a quasi-public agency through the designation of the ordinance, because it was designated as an agent and instrumentality of the city of Columbus.
If it was truly an agent, would perhaps the city of Columbus been liable for anything that they did?
Well, I think if you look at some of the agreements, I think there were probably, if I recall, there were some of the standard indemnification language that I-670 Corporation would hold them harmless for any such acts. The BTA did find that both the requirements for 570908 were satisfied, that it was public property and that it was used exclusively for a public purpose. The tax commissioner believes that that decision was reasonable and lawful and would request that the determination of the BTA be affirmed.
Thank you. Mr. Gorey, you have about a minute and a half.
I thank the court. I'll be very brief. Just want to make 3 points. First, Isaac 70 was not designated as an agent or instrumentality for the purposes of acquiring any real property, let alone this real property. It did have an agreement with the city that said it was an agent for promotion, all that sort of stuff. No authorization in the ordinance, the agreement, the loan to hold, to acquire, hold this property as an agent or instrumentality. Nothing in any of the documents indicate that I-670 holds for the benefit of the city of Columbus, and how could it do so? The city had no right to control the use or the development of the property. City was not entitled to the profits.
Well, on page 79 of the volume 2 of the supplement, it's the we have the city ordinance.
Yes.
And it says that whereas such words of purpose as follows, and then the second paragraph down says, to take and hold by bequest, devise, gift, purchase, or lease, either absolutely or in trust for any of its purposes, any property, real or personal without limitation as to amount, value, to sell, convey, and dispose of such property. Doesn't that give them the right to buy property?
No. My understanding is that language is nothing more than a resuscitation, a citation of the Articles of Incorporation of I-670. If you'll see the above whereas.
Okay. So that you're saying that that's not included in their authority.
Right. And if I may, I'd just like to indicate that under Article 8, Section 13 of the Ohio Constitution, that authorizes statutes to create nonprofit corporations. That's a CIC, Community Improvement Corporation.
Authorizes the city to
designate. Okay. And the statutes authorize the creation of the CIC. Yet, the BTA has held that the property of a CIC is not, the vacant land, is not entitled to a real property tax exemption under 570908 because it's not public property. What an anomaly. The particular agency that's referred to, private agency, CIC, isn't entitled to an exemption on its land, yet I-670, which doesn't qualify as a CIC, is. I thank the court.
Thank you. The case will be submitted to the court. You'll be advised.